It's now time for the Billy C Show, part of the BillyCBoxing.com network.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligero, and it's time for the Billy C Show. Good morning, good day, good evening. Whenever you're watching, whenever you're listening, I hope you're doing okay today. Today's show is being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molineaux, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet. It's available right now where all good books are sold. And you can get a copy of this right now by watching or listening to this very show. Just go to barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. Also, today's show is being brought to you in part by BillyCBoxing.com. Yes, yes, boys and girls, BillyCBoxing.com is back better than ever. We simplified some stuff. I want you to check it out. I put boxing news, some stuff we're going to talk about here, and it's only going to be the latest stuff. So once it's outdated, I go to a lot of the boxing websites, and you know, you're trying to get news, and you're flipping through, and you're seeing stories that, you know, pertain to a fight that took place 2 weeks ago, and I'm not going to do that. We're only going to put stuff up until it happens, and then you're going to just see new stuff. I'm not going to keep a big history of what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. All right, today's topic, we are going to talk about Tim Tszyu and Sebastian Fedora. What's the chances of this being a real competitive fight? I mean, I got something going on. Hold on. Hopefully, yeah, okay. You guys could hear, but I couldn't hear myself think. That's tough. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to break down that fight. There's some other fights I'm going to talk about and break down. We got a busy, busy schedule starting tonight. So there's some fights that I want to talk about. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page and our Rumble page, as well as our podcast accounts. You can get our show anywhere you get podcasts, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Our YouTube page, you guys know that. When you check out the new look of the website, the new old look of the website, you're going to see basically a link to the podcast. The most recent podcast is up there, and the most recent show, or if you want to watch it live, you click that. But check out the boxing news section. There's a link right on the side. It looks like a newspaper. It says Talking Boxing. Click it, you know, but also up on the top. All right. First and foremost, let's get some. Oh, we're going to do a blast today, too. I'm going to do a blast from the past, impromptu, on Charlie Burley. Why, you say? Because there was some discussion going on social media. I've been trying to have a more of a presence on social media, and Charlie Burley's name came up. And, well, I'm going to talk a little about him. Just let's get some fights that took place. We got my man Jesus, who never misses a show since we're coming on this early. I want to give him a shout out. He's in the chat room right now. If you're watching or listening to the show live, make sure you come on over into the chat room over on the YouTube page and check that out. He says, I like Fundora's chances against Tszyu. I'll get to that in a little bit. But let's just talk about a fight card that was on last weekend. Dalton Smith, who I predicted, improved to 16-0 with 12 knockouts when he scored a fifth-round knockout over Jose Zapata to claim the WBC silver title. It was vacant. 1 minute and 25 seconds of the fifth round. What a body shot. If you missed this fight, check it out. I mean, it looked like he hurt Zapata earlier in the round, like a punch or two before. Then he landed this body shot that he just crumbled, and that was the end of the fight. It was KO. Very, very interesting fight. Big fight for Dalton Smith because when I broke down this fight last week, really everything pointed to Zapata to win that fight. You know, he had the skill. You know, at least I thought he had the pedigree, he power puncher, all those things. And Dalton Smith, no disrespect, really all his big fights were in the UK against local fighters. You know, when I say local, I should say, I use the word domestic fighters from the UK. And just, you know, I picked them. I picked them, but I was a little nervous about that pick. But anyway, also on that card, in the super lightweight division, junior welterweight division, Campbell Hatton, the son of there's only one Ricky Hatton, picked up his first loss of his career when he lost a 10-round unanimous decision to Jimmy Joe Flint, who improved to 14-1-2 with three knockouts. The way the judges scored it, 98-92, 97-94, 97-95, all in favor of Jimmy Joe Flint. Campbell Hatton drops his first fight. He's 14-1 now with five knockouts, nothing like his father. And in the junior middleweight division, Ishmael Davis improved to 13-0 when he scored a with six knockouts when he scored a 12-round unanimous decision over Troy Williamson, who loses his third. He's now 20 wins, three losses and a draw with 14 knockouts. Scores 117-111, and two of the judges had it at 116-112. Let me get you caught up on some news real quick, and then we'll get into the fights. I don't know if you saw this, but looks like Deontay Wilder and Zili Zhang will be fighting on June 1st. And also on that card, Daniel Dubois against Philip Hrgovic. I love these two fights. My initial thought on the Wilder-Zhang fight, look, you know, Zili Zhang is a slow-footed guy, all right? He's got some pop, but he's got slow hands, slow feet, no defense, takes a lot of punishment, and tires at the end of every round. And as the fight goes on, he gets even tireder. Now, with that said, Deontay Wilder got a glass jaw. You know, it's going to boil down to one thing, because Wilder's going to connect. Wilder's going to get in there, and his, you know, crazy crazy leg style is because, you know, Wilder has no boxing skill aside from his punching power. It's going to be interesting to see if Zhang can withstand the power. If he can withstand the punching power of Deontay Wilder, which I believe he still possesses. He didn't look like it in his last fight against Parker. If he can withstand that pop, Zhang's going to catch him at least once, and that's all he's going to have to do. Interesting fight. At this stage, I'm siding with Deontay Wilder only because Zhang is so slow-footed and he tires. It's going to be, and he's 41. It's going to be interesting to see. My man Juan is in the chat room. Glad he could join us. Fairly new viewer, listener, and I'm glad to see that he's hanging with us now. Now, as far as the Dubois-Hrgovic fight, that's an interesting fight. I give a lot of credit to Daniel Dubois because it seems that everybody's avoiding Hrgovic, but not Dubois. Speaking of the heavyweight division, we got Manuel Char, you know, who, in my opinion, is the Keith Thurman of the heavyweight division. There always seems to be a reason for him not to fight, between injuries and lawsuits and being stripped of his belt and being reallocated to the regular WBA, regular old heavyweight title. This guy seems to miss a lot. And according to him, he said, "I tore the distal tendon in my bicep during training. I'm gutted to announce that I cannot fight on March 30th. My training was going well, which makes this doubly hard. I look forward to a quick recovery. I'm hoping to be able to attend the event March 30th. I look forward to the rescheduled WBA world title bout with Kuba Pulov." And speaking of Pulov, he's still fighting. He was going to be the hometown guy, and they dug up Ihor Shvedsky to fight him. So we'll see. My man Coach Yes, Coach, I'm going to talk a little about Charlie Burley today. Did you catch this in the news? The Queensberry Matchroom 5 versus 5 weight class competition that they're doing. It's pretty slick, if you ask me. So here's the thing, in a nutshell. What's happened is that Matchroom Promotions and Queensberry Promotions, two top English promoters, decided that they're going to go head-to-head. Now, this is an example. You guys hear why I say that I feel that boxing, the UK, controls boxing. In a sense, I mean, of course, everybody wants to come to the U.S. or now go to Saudi Arabia to fight. But really, the UK is where it's at with the boxing scene, in my opinion. You know, you got so many fighters there. The fans love it. I love the fans. And the promoters work together. You know, the fans don't care if their guy loses a fight or two. They still cheer him on and everything else. And if you've never watched one, I mean, it's such a diversified crowd, and there's so much energy. It's you see great fights. You know, well, these two promoters decided that they're gonna go head to head and make it interesting. And so what they came up with is there's five fighters from each promotional company going to go head to head. And it was like, you know, they get to pick, you know. So Frank Warren picks a class and puts his fighter up, and then Eddie Hearn has to get a fighter in that weight class to match him. Then Eddie Hearn picks one, and vice versa. And they're all doing it with the Saudi Arabian guy as well. And he gets to pick one, and there's a wild card. So they picked the fights, and it's going to be taking place on the Dmitry Bivol and Artur Beterbiev fight card that's taking place on June 1st. And this will be part of the undercard. So, I mean, right off the bat, boys and girls, this is going to be a great card. So here's the way that they did it. So there's two fights at heavyweight, one at light heavyweight, and one at middleweight, and the last one is at featherweight. Now, I think the way it worked was Frank Warren picked the heavyweight first, then Hearn picked the featherweight, then Warren picked the middleweights, then Hearn picked the light heavyweight, and the final weight class, which was determined by his Excellency, he chose the heavyweights again. So the way they unfolded was like this. The Hearn used his wild card in the heavyweight division and chose, the wild card meant that you would pick a fighter that's not under your promotional. And who did he pick? Deontay Wilder. And Zhang works under Queensberry. So that's that fight. So that fight I was just talking about is going to be part of this. So that's one. The second heavyweight fight is the one I just said. Hrgović against Daniel Dubois. Those are the two heavyweight fights. Would determine, you know, what's going to happen also in the Usyk Tyson Fury fight. Now, because then we'll see if they're going to fight the winner, et cetera, et cetera. So the other ones, they're going to try to get the other fights announced. So you're going to be looking at a featherweight fight and a middleweight fight. We'll keep you posted on that. And like I said, you know, check out BillyCBoxing.com and get caught up on some of the news that you're not going to see anywhere else, because some of these sites don't follow it. It's a lot of the, you know, incidental news that I like, that kind of, you know, plants the seeds for the sport. So I got some quotes here. This is from Carl Froch, and he's really questioning Tyson Fury. Not only is he questioning Tyson Fury's own abilities, but he says that he questions how much he's up for this Usyk. It kind of sounds like Carl Froch is going with Usyk here, And this is a quote from Carl Froetsch. He said, "I was recently asked about Tyson Fury's resume, and I'm going to give you guys the honest answer. His best wins are against Klitschko, who was 40 years old. I don't need to repeat it. He's beaten four world champions. He had three great fights with Deontay Wilder, but didn't win all three of them." See, now I disagree with that. I feel that Tyson Fury did beat Deontay Wilder all three times. If you didn't remember the score, it was two wins and one draw. But I thought he won that one anyway. And he says, Carl Froetsch goes on to say, "And that's your resume, Tyson Fury? Deontay Wilder and Klitschko and some guy named Steve Cunningham, who was a pumped-up cruiserweight who dropped Fury." By the way, he was a pumped-up light heavyweight. He went from light heavyweight to cruiserweight to fight Tyson Fury at a heavyweight. And he struggled against Otto Wallen. The fight could have been stopped, but he still won. The problem with people is they don't want to hear criticism sometimes, and I'm very honest. It's the hard truth. The plan is May 18th, the unification of the heavyweight titles. That's not happened since Lennox Lewis did it in 98, but I'm still not convinced by Fury. I just don't think Tyson's Fury heart is in the game anymore. That is a quote from former world champion Carl Froetsch, and we'll see. We'll see. My man Coach is in the chat room saying, "The rumor is the winner of the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight is going to face Deontay Wilder." Yeah. All right. Some news I want to get to real quick before I start breaking down these fights. And remember, I'm looking for your thoughts in the chat room on Tim Tszyu against Sebastian Fundora. Is it going to be a competitive fight? That's my question for you. All right. This weekend, as a matter of fact, starting tomorrow, we got a fight that's, I'm going to be talking about the fights, but here's another one in the light heavyweight division. Kareem Hackett is going to be on that card. He's taking on Rowdy Legend Montgomery. Hackett's 12-0 with six knockouts. Montgomery's 10-5-1 with seven knockouts. Again, this is the kind of stuff you can read the full in-depth stories up on BillyCBoxing.com. This card, which I'm going to be talking about, the main event, is my favorite card of the weekend. It's a bumper bill. In case you don't know what that is, it's just a whole lot of fights going on. This is on Easter Sunday. It'll be broadcast on Sky Sports in the UK and over here in the US of A, Peacock. Love this card, and I will get to the main event in a minute. But in addition to that, there's a cruiserweight fight. I love the cruiserweights. Videl Riley and McCall Lowell, they're going to be in a cruiserweight fight. And a kid that I've kept my eye on, he's fun to watch. I know some diehards are going to hate this guy. I want to welcome Andre Rodriguez in the chat room. Glad you could join us. Ben Whitaker was an Olympian, and he's going to be back in action. He's 6-0 with five knockouts. If you haven't seen this guy, what a character he is. Keep your eye on him. He's unorthodox, but he's definitely got some skill. A fight that I'm going to be ringside for at the Mohegan Sun. Different Popeye. Richie Rivera is returning to the ring. Mohegan Sun, April 6th. He's taken on undefeated from Nigeria, Matthew Obina. Obina's 23-0 with 23 knockouts. It's a 10-round light heavyweight fight. So I'm looking forward to see Popeye the Sailor Man returning to his native state of Connecticut. That's taking place at the Mohegan Sun on the 1st. Broadway Boxing. Remember DiBella? Lou DiBella's Broadway Boxing? Well, it's going to appear in Philly for the first time at the 2300 Arena Thursday, April 18th. You could check out all the fights on that one. It's up on the website, BillyCBoxing.com. Two decent heavyweight fights are going to be the main and co-main event. Young fighters, scheduled eight rounders. So check that out. And April 19th, Avias Griffin is going to be returning to the ring against Jose Vargas Quintana in a welterweight fight. It's on the undercard of a pretty big card that Overtime Boxing will be broadcasting on DAZN. Don King, as usual with Don King, he's putting on a couple of championships, not one, not two, but three championship fights, April 27th in Miami. It'll be broadcast on Fight TV, I believe. But if you're in the Miami area, check it out. And speaking of Don King, I told you last week, Blair the Flair Cobb, he just signed with a new coach, Justin Gamber. As you know, Don King signed Blair Cobbs a couple weeks ago. And a rumor, according to this press release, is that they're working on a fight between Blair Cobbs. And I'm a little shocked that they're doing that. But Adrian Broner. So Jose Ramirez and Virgil Ortiz are fighting on April 27th. They will be on a DAZN card. Former super featherweight and lightweight world champion Rancis Barthelemy is also on that card, as well as Delorme. We'll see about that one. Again, check the website for updated stuff. I want to get right into these breakdowns here. Rocky Hernandez returns to the ring May 11th. On, guess what, DAZN, he's going to be taking on Eduardo Hernandez in that one. This is a good one I'm looking forward to. Lawrence Oakley is taking on Lukasz Rozanski for the WBC World Bridgeweight title May 24th in Poland. Oakley was a cruiserweight champion, and now he's moving up, and he's going to try his luck in the bridge weight category. May 25th, Christian Mabili and Arsalek Makhachkalov, and I murdered both those names, I apologize. They're going to be fighting in separate bouts, of course, on May 25th. I'm looking forward to that one. I like these two guys. It's going to be on ESPN Plus. And the last thing I wanted to talk about fight-wise, June 15th, IBF Junior Welterweight Champ Sabriel Matisse, 20 wins, one loss, and 20 of his wins coming by knockout, is going to be returning to his homeland of Puerto Rico, and he's going to be making a world title defense against Liam Paro, who's undefeated, 24-0 with 15 knockouts, be broadcast on DAZN. All right, so let's get into some of these fights that we got a busy weekend, all right? So I'm gonna give you my thoughts on these fights, all right? First and foremost, tonight, there's a fight on DAZN. It's the main event is going to be Juan Carrillo, who's 11-0 with 8 knockouts. He's going to be taking on Quentin Rankin, who's 21 wins, 8 losses, and 2 draws. Of his 8 losses, he was stopped twice. He's ranked at number 199th in the light heavyweight division. He's coming off a loss in September. He's 37 years old. Now, Juan Carrillo, his last fight was a tough majority decision win over Richard Van Cillen at the Turning Stone. So it's going to be an interesting fight. That's going to be on tonight on DAZN. Make sure you watch that one. Tomorrow night, Oscar Valdez is taking on Liam Wilson. And that's one of the fights I want to break down real quick. Let's just go over the schedule. Saturday, we got the Amazon Prime fight. I'm going to break down the Tim Tszyu and Sebastian Fundora fight, but also on that card, Rolando Romero against Isaac Cruz. Romero's 15 wins, one loss, 13 of his wins coming by knockout. He's going to have a 4-inch height advantage. He's 28 years old, and he's the WBA super lightweight champion. Isaac Cruz, on the other hand, he's 25 years old. 25 wins, 2 losses, and a draw. 17 of his wins coming by knockout. The only loss to Romero was a stoppage loss to Tank Davis, right? So when you take a look at Isaac Cruz, you know, his he's got two losses. One came real early in his career. The second one was a decision loss to Tank Davis. But since then, look at who he's beaten. He's got in 2020, he stopped Diego Magalhães. In 2021, he won a unanimous decision against Jose Romero. Also in 21, he had a unanimous decision over Francisco Uruguay, right? You guys. In 2022, he stopped Uriorkis Gamboa. In 2022, he stopped Eduardo Ramirez. And in 2023, he had a split decision in his last fight over Giovanni Cabrera. Who's going to win this fight? I think Isaac Cruz is going to beat the snot out of Rolando Romero. That's my thought there. And also on that card, Erslandy Lara is taking on Michael Zephyra. Erslandy Lara, southpaw, 29-3. He's the WBA middleweight champ, 17 knockouts. He takes on Zephyra, who's 31-4 with 19 knockouts. He was stopped one time of his 4 losses. His noted wins, he split some fights with Jeff Horn. He stopped Anthony Mundine, went the distance with Kell Brook. I'm leaning towards Lara in this one, even though he's 104 years old. But the fights I'm going to break down, Tim Tszyu against Fundora, and the fight I like really the best on this card is Julio Cesar Martinez against Angelino Cordova for Martinez's WBC flyweight title. Let's break down these fights right now. First and foremost, I'll break down the fight that's taking place tomorrow night. This fight is Leon Wilson going up against Oscar Valdez. Now, Wilson is ranked number 38 by the computer system. The WBO has him ranked at number 2. He's not rated in any of the other sanctioning bodies. His record is 13 wins, 7 of his wins coming by knockout, and he lost twice, stopped both times. He was stopped by Joe Noyne in 2021, and he also was stopped in 2023 by Emmanuel Navarrete, which is the best fighter that he seems to have faced. And Noyne, he avenged that loss in 2022. So in 2021, he lost by KO. He avenged the loss by winning by KO in 2022. And in 2023, he lost to Emmanuel Navarrete by stoppage. Those are his 2 losses. He's 28 years old, 5'9.5". Look, when you look at his wins, there it's another one of these domestic guy. I don't really see any name that pops out in front of me except the guy he lost to, Emmanuel Navarrete. So, give a shout out to John McCleary, who just popped in the chat room. Glad he could be with us. He's watching. Oh, yeah, we're streaming on Facebook. So he's watching on Facebook, it looks like. So is Juan. Wilson steps in the ring with Oscar Valdez. Now, Oscar Valdez is older. He's 33 years old. He's got a record of 31 wins, 23 coming by knockout, 2 losses, never been stopped. He, too, lost to Emmanuel Navarrete via unanimous decision in 2023, similar to Leon Wilson, who was stopped by him, though. His other loss was to none other than Shakur Stevenson in 2022. He's a former world super featherweight champion. He had 10 successful title defenses before losing his title to Shakur Stevenson in what was a unification match. He's 5'5.5", so he's given up 4 inches to Leon Wilson. The computer ranks this guy at number 28, which is a little surprising. because the WBC has him at number 8 and the WBO has him at number 4. He's not rated in the IBF or the WBA. When I look at this guy's resume, I mean, you know, he's got some wins over some talented fighters. I mean, if you go back to 2017, you know, he's got a unanimous decision win over Miguel Mariaga. In 2017, a unanimous decision win over Genesis Savanya. He beat Scott Quigg via a 12-round decision in 2018. 2019, Carmine Tomasone, he stopped him in 7. In 2020, Jason Velez stopped him in the last round of a 10-round fight. In 2021, he beat a guy that many regarded was the top in the division in Michael Burchout, knocked him out in the 10th round of a scheduled 12-round fight. And he beat Robert Consego in 2021 before facing Shakur Stevenson, losing that one. He beat Adam Lopez. He lost to Navarrete. And now he's taking on Wilson. Despite his age and despite him being in these wars, you know, I'm taking Oscar Valdez in this fight. I think he's going to, I hate to say it, but beat the snot out of Leon Wilson. So that's my prediction there. Mike Lawson has got a comment. He says, Michael Zephyra was knocked out cold by Peter Quinlan at Foxwoods a bunch of years ago. I was sitting next to Zephyra's sister when they took him out on a stretcher. You know, I think I was at that fight too, Mike. I think I was at that fight too. That was when Peter Quinlan was actually doing well. Kid Chocolate. He said, and that's when he used to throw out the chocolate kits. I'm almost positive I was there. I got to check my stuff. But also, we'll take a look at this fight, which I love. I absolutely love this fight. I love this fighter, and I like the matchup. To tell you the truth, I'll get to it in a second, but my man is taking on my man. I'm going blank here. My man Julio Cesar Martinez is taking on Angelino Cordova in a WBC World Flyweight match. Martinez is the flyweight champion. He's ranked number 13 by the computer, but since he's a WBC flyweight champion, he's not ranked anywhere else. He's 29 years old. He's 5'2". He's going to be giving up a couple of inches. Look, if you look at this resume, he's 20 wins, 3 losses, 15 of his wins coming by knockout. The 3 losses, he was stopped once, but that was a stoppage early, and I mean early in his career. The other losses were kind of weird. If you look at this guy, I mean, the rest of his fights, of his 23 fights, right, only 3 of them I would deem easy fights, all right? I mean, just take a look at who he's fought. But I don't know if you remember, but back in 2019, he fought Charlie Edwards for the then vacant flyweight title. Actually, I believe that flyweight title belonged to Charlie Edwards at the time. He got his shot at the flyweight title. And originally, you know, they awarded a knockout win for Martinez. But then they changed it to a no contest because they felt Edwards was hit with a body shot after he was on his knee. So they made that fight a no contest. So then he got another shot and he fought Christopher Rosales also in 2019 and beat him, knocked him out in 9th. So the title had been vacated after nobody won it in that Charlie Edwards fight. So now he wins the title. Then he goes on and he fights Jay Harris in 2020. Beats him, and then he fights McWilliams Arroyo, and again gets a no contest because it was an accidental headbutt, and Arroyo couldn't continue. He went on to face Roman Gonzalez, and hey, come on, Roman Gonzalez. He lost a 12-round decision. I thought the fight was a lot closer than the scorecards, but he lost. But then he stepped back into the ring and fought Samuel Kimona in 2022. It was an extremely close fight, but he won a majority decision on that one. He followed that up with a win over Ronai Batista with an 11-round stoppage, which brings him to the Angelino Cordova fight this weekend. Cordova, he's 18-0. 12 of his wins coming by knockout, one draw. Computer sees him at number 36. The WBC's got him at number 14. The WBO's got him at number 6. And he's not rated in the WBA or the IBF. Now, like I said, he's 5'4", so he's got a 2-inch height advantage. He's 28 years old. Look, I look at this guy's record, and of his 19 fights, I see one opponent that you could say was a decent opponent, and that was April of last year. He fought Angel Acosta, who was 23-3, and he won a 10-round decision, and it was a close fight, 96-93, and two judges had it 95-94. You look at the rest of them. I mean, the rest of his opponents either were making their professional debut or they had losing records. I mean... I don't even know how this guy's getting a title shot, to be honest with you. You know, the WBC inserted him in the top 15 so that Martinez could get a shot. Listen, if this guy could even give Martinez a close fight, I'm going to be shocked. I'm going Martinez all the way in that one. I mean, it's not even going to be close. Now, the big fight for the weekend, I've been asking the question. I'll give a shout out to Davey Diaz, who just popped in the room. Tim Tszyu going up against a late sub, I guess, a couple weeks ago, Sebastian Fundora. If you recall, the guy who's kind of a fraud, Keith Thurman, injured himself. Surprise, surprise. And then they moved Fundora, who was on the undercard. They moved him to face him. But then the WBO said, well, wait a minute, Fundora is a legitimate opponent, so let's sanction this fight for the WBO title. Because if you remember, they did not sanction Tszyu's fight against Keith Thurman. But now the WBO decides to sanction the fight. And no, wait, there's more, boys and girls, because the WBC had a vacant title. They say, you know what? Sebastian Fundora and Tim Tszyu, that sounds like an okay fight. So we, too, are going to put our vacant title on the line. So now, all of a sudden, it's a unified title shot for both of these guys. And they mentioned, and we talked about it last week, Terrence Crawford was in a good position to fight the winner. And not only is he in a good position, it seems like it's already done. I haven't heard any official announcement. But what I did hear was that the WBO announced that they're going to let Terrence Crawford maintain his WBO version of his welterweight straps. So when he fights, the winner of this fight, so it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that TC will be fighting the winner of Tim Tszyu and Sebastian Fundora. Now, when you look at this fight, you know, I don't know how you guys are looking at it, but I'm all right. Look, I'll break it down. Let's go through the motions, right? Sebastian Fundora, he's 20 wins, one loss, one draw. 13 of his 20 wins coming by knockout. His one loss, he got knocked out. All right, he's a freak of nature. 6'5", this guy is, in this weight class, in the junior middleweight. He's huge, all right, but he's got those skinny little toothpick legs, you know what I mean? He's 26 years old. He's coming off a stoppage loss to Brian Mendoza on April 8th, he was knocked out in the 7th round. Prior to that, he had 4 decent wins. You go back to 2021, Jorge Cota, also in 21, Sergio Garcia. He destroyed Erickson Lubin in 2022. And he had a good win against Carlos Ocampo in October of 22. Brian Mendoza, knocked him out. He was counted out in round 7. He was rocked in that fight a couple of times. You know, He's a southpaw. He's got a 65% knockout ratio, 116 rounds as a pro. He's ranked at number three by the WBC. He's not rated at all in the WBA, IBF, or WBO, which is kind of strange. He's the former, the WBC has the gonads to say he's the former interim super welterweight champion. Like I said, he's 26 years old. He's got an 80-inch reach, and his trainer is Freddy Fondoro. Now, he steps in the ring with Tim Tszyu. Tim Tszyu is ranked number one in the world at junior middleweight. His record, 24 wins, 17 coming by knockout. I love when everybody corrects how I murder languages. And Giup is correcting my pronunciation of Tim Tszyu. And he's, you know, it's, I say, I know, I he's saying zoo, you know. Listen, my show is Billy C. I can't even pronounce my own last name. So, you know, I appreciate the correct, but some people get so uptight over it. It is what it is, Tim Tszyu. You know, it's not kazoo, as in Fred Flintstone's kazoo. It's Tim Tszyu, like his father. You know, but anyway. WBO World Super Welterweight Champion or Junior Middleweight Champ, whatever you want to say. 129 rounds as a pro, almost 71% knockout ratio. Computer has him at number one. His last nine fights, all against very good opposition, going all the way back to 2020. You know, you got to look at look, if you look at them all, I mean, Jeff Horn, Bowen Morgan, Dennis Hogan, Steve Spark, Takeshi Inoue, Terrell Goshua, Olympian, Tony Harrison, Carlos Ocampo, and he beat Brian Mendoza. So he's a real deal. You know, I had my reservations about him, but I don't think I don't. Now he's giving me a fair, because see, you got to understand, I can't even pronounce my own name. I'm not doing it to, you know, disrespect anybody. It is what it is. And you got to admit, some of these names, you know, when you have every single letter of the alphabet in your name, I'm never going to pronounce it, you know. And then, but anyway, look, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think this fight's going to be too competitive. I think that, you know, Timmy, because I don't want to pronounce his last name wrong, Tszyu or Zoo, Tim Tszyu. He's going to beat this guy. He's going to knock him out, and we're going to see a decent fight between him and Terrence Crawford. I'm predicting a knockout win. I just think that Fondora is a freak of nature. I don't think he's got the mobility to utilize his reach that he has. If he worked on his leg movement, you know, footwork, I should say, you know, and really utilized his height and reach advantage, you know, I mean, maybe this guy could go a few rounds. I see Tim moving in there and blowing him out of there pretty quick. That's what I see. I see a quick fight, all right? But that's my opinion. The last fight I'm going to talk about is the fight I'm looking forward to most this weekend. It's on Easter Sunday. And coming up after this, I'm going to do a quick blast from the past on Charlie Burley, and I'll give you the whole backstory of why I'm doing it. The main event on this card, this bumper bill, is a lot of great fights I talked about earlier in the show. But the main event puts two young heavyweights against each other. Fabio Wardley is going up against Frazier Clark. These guys faced each other in the amateurs. There's been some smack talk back and forth, but there always is in boxing today. But I like it. I like this fight. And once again, kudos to the fighters in the UK for having the you-know-whats to step up and fight each other early in their careers. You'd never see this in the U.S. You see an undefeated heavyweight fighter in the United States, and he'll continue to fight fighters with losing records until he gets his shot. And then everybody's going to say, oh, he was exposed. Yeah, of course he was exposed. He never had a chance to get better. I love the fact that these two guys are fighting each other, and it's going to be a competitive fight. Make sure you watch it. In the States here, it'll be on Peacock. Over on the other side of the pond, where I hope to do a show soon, it'll be on Sky Sports. All right, Frazier Clark. He's 6 foot six, 32 years old, orthodox fighter. He's ranked number 38 by the computer. He's not ranked in any of the four major sanctioning bodies. He's 8-0 with six knockouts. With those eight wins, there's two fighters on here of note. Neither one of them are world beaters, but I give him credit for beating both of them. Moritz Wach, he beat in June of 2023, and later that year he beat David Allen. Both of these fighters, David Allen, he couldn't continue after the sixth round, and Wach went the distance with him in 10 rounds in Bethel Green. Yeah, Coach, I was saying that whole card really is good, and that Ben Whitaker on there, hopefully it'll put him in. He's always interesting to watch. One thing I want to make a note of, he's 6 foot six. His last several fights, he's come in at or above 270 pounds. That's something to keep an eye on, what kind of shape he comes in. And he's stepping in the ring against Fabio Wardley. Fabio Wardley is number 28 on the computer. He's 17-0 with 16 of his wins coming by knockout. He's an inch shorter at 6'5". He comes in substantially lighter, like 30 pounds lighter. He's been averaging about 240 pounds in his last couple fights. He's ranked in all four of the sanctioning bodies. The WBC has him at number 14. The WBA has him at number 11, as does the IBF. And the WBO has him at number 6. When I look at his 17 wins, I'll dig up three that I give him credit for that were good fighters. Back in 21, he fought Eric Molina, a journeyman fighter who he stopped in the fifth of a scheduled 10. He also fought Nathan Gorman, who was a pretty decent fighter. He was on his way up, and Wardley dropped and stopped him in the third round. And he also beat David Adderley, who was undefeated in October of last year. He stopped him in seven. So I like the fight, and I think it's going to be a pretty even fight. But I'm going with Wardley on this one, boys and girls. So those are my picks for the fights. All right. So the other day I was on social media, and I made a comment. Somebody did something. I made a comment about Charlie Burley, and a fellow social media person was quick to tell me that I was wrong. What I had said was in my post was that Charlie Burley was the only fighter that Sugar Ray Robinson didn't want to fight. Now, I've heard this, and I'm going to back it up here, many times, but it wasn't because Sugar Ray Robinson was afraid to fight Charlie Burley. The main reason he didn't want to fight Charlie Burley was because Charlie Burley made everybody look bad. And Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, I hate to make this comparison, but he was kind of the Floyd Mayweather of the day. Although Floyd couldn't carry his jock strap, Sugar Ray Robinson made, you know, it was his baseball. He got to pitch. So this guy sent me some stuff, and he sent me a couple newspaper clippings, you know, basically showing that Charlie Burley, you know, wanted to fight, but they were looking to get money, right? And they wanted to be paid and all of this stuff. Now, you know, which isn't a bad thing, right? Now, Eddie Futch, the you know, famed Hall of Famer Eddie Futch, when he talked about Charlie Burley, he said Charlie Burley was a great fighter, an underrated fighter who would have been a champion today.
He said he took them all on, no matter how big. I remember seeing him knock out J.D. Turner, a heavyweight. He was a big heavyweight, too, by the way. Burley came in at 155. Turner was 215, which was big in those days. He said, I asked Turner later how a man he outweighed by 60 pounds could knock him out. He said, that little SOB was one tough man. He hit me with a left hook. Nobody ever hit me that hard. And this was Charlie Burley. Now, the thing about Charlie Burley was he wasn't really known for being a knockout puncher. He only had a little over 60% knockout ratio. But the reason is because he had very fragile hands. He would break his hands in almost every fight. As a matter of fact, there were many times when he was taping up his hands that were already broken. He was putting broken hands, fractured hands, in the gloves before he fought. That was a big weakness of Charlie Burley's. And incidentally, he never was stopped either. But the man that knows more about Charlie Burley than probably Charlie Burley knew about himself was Harry Oddy. Harry Oddy wrote a book, and that's what got me into Charlie Burley was Harry's book. It was called Charlie Burley and the Black Murderer's Row. If you haven't read it, get it. It basically talks about these black fighters that they all fought each other, and they were all quality fighters. And Harry wrote to me after seeing this back and forth. He says, there was no fight for Burley to turn down. Neither Robinson nor his management ever offered Burley a fight in 1942. It was muted. But Burley, in the game longer than Robinson, and tried and was being tired of getting a short end of the stick money-wise, said he wanted to be paid the same amount. Kurt Herman, Ray's manager at the time, said the fight could come to Minneapolis, but they wouldn't have to be paid for it. Some reports said that Sugar Ray Robinson was asking 10 grand for this fight, which was very steep when you consider Robinson fought a non-threat fighter like Dick Banner in Minneapolis for $1,000. He was also happy to take on Freddie Carbaral and Ralph Zanelli in Boston less than a year later and was paid around $2,000 each. He fought Ruben Shank at Madison Square Garden for $4,000. He gave away 13 pounds to Jake LaMotta in order to earn $6,000, which was 20% of the gate, and made a little over that same amount squeaking by Marty Servo at Madison Square Garden in 42. Nicolette Park was mooted as a venue, and Tommy O'Loughlin indicated in the press that the bout was a go, but there was no further talk, and the fight never got off the ground. Therefore, there was no bout for a Burley to turn down against Robinson. Also, Mike Jacobs was pissed at Tommy O'Loughlin for bringing Ray to Minneapolis for a fight. It's likely Robinson only took it as he was at Jack Blackburn's funeral in Chicago, and it was a nice little payday on the way back to New York. Nonetheless, the action put off Laughlin in hot water with Jacobs, which was reported in the press. Jacobs was Madison Square Garden guy. Not too long afterwards, Robinson brought out his contract from Horman and said he got the 10 grand that he borrowed it from Jacobs. There were plenty of contemporary press reports stating that Ray's management wasn't interested in about with Burley. Ray himself is quoted as saying he was too pretty to fight Burley. Charlie, respected for his honesty by everyone who knew him, said he was offered a 3-fight series with Ray with conditions which he did turn down. Eddie Futch, Ray Arcel, the list goes on. Ray's management wouldn't even take Burley for a fight with Artie Towne. I wonder which one of these started this myth. I stand by what I said, despite getting some newspaper clippings, and my man Harry Oddy just backed up what I was saying. So when you take a look at Charlie Burley's record, okay, 83 wins, boys and girls, 50 of them coming by knockout from a guy that really wasn't a knockout puncher. 12 losses in which he never was stopped. He's got 2 draws. So there's a little discrepancy. He's got 98 professional bouts, 83 wins, 50 by KO. Now, the International Boxing Hall of Fame, which he is in, has him as 84 wins with 50 knockouts, 11 losses, 2 draws, and 1 no contest. But there was a fight that was reported incorrectly by many. Back then, a lot of times, the fight results were based on the newspaper report, and then they documented it on their records. And sometimes, especially coming off of this was after that era, but they used to have what they called newspaper decisions. So you'd see a fight between fighter A and fighter B, and you know, you'd get conflicting reports. The hometown paper for fighter A said he won. The hometown paper for fighter B says he won. You know, so it's kind of tricky to go back and get all of those records. But back to Charlie Burley. This was a guy that he was rated as a welterweight or a middleweight, but he was never really that big. I mean, the most he ever weighed, at the end of his career, he weighed over 160 once, a half a pound a couple of times, but for the most part, he was under 158 pounds. He fought, talk about Murderer's Row. He fought Ezra Charles in about a month apart, but check out some of the guys that he beat, okay? Oakland Billy Smith, he fought and beat him a couple of times. He fought 7 times against Holman Williams. He won 3 of them, 1 by knockout, and he lost 3, never stopped, and the 2 of them had no contest. Holman Williams, Holman Williams was a great fighter. When he fought him in 1945, Holman Williams' record was already 128 wins, 20 losses with 9 draws. He beat Joe Carter, another Hall of Famer. Let's see who else he beat. Jack Case beat him a couple of times. Aaron Wade beat him. Archie Moore beat Archie Moore. Yes, you heard that correctly, boys and girls. He went the distance with Ezra Charles twice, like I just said, within 30 days. In between that, so he fought Ezra Charles on May 25th, 1942. On June 23rd, he fought Holman Williams and went 10 rounds with him. And then on June 29th, 6 days later, he fought Ezra Charles. You know, so, talk about a difference the way they did fights back then. Big Boy Hogue fought and beat him. As a matter of fact, stopped him in the 6th round. Shorty Hogue he beat. Went the distance with Jimmy Bivens, another great fighter. Had a draw with Georgie Abrams, a Hall of Famer. Jimmy Lito beat. Coco Kitty beat. Leon Zaretta, Billy Seuss, Fritzy Zivic he beat twice. The list goes on and on. Charlie Burley was a fantastic fighter, and one that was a lot of people don't remember. And he was went back to his hometown where he was from and was worked in sanitation for the rest of his life. In Pennsylvania, coach is telling me not to forget Fritzy Zivic. I just said he beat him twice, so he's a Hall of Famers, man. And so the truth of the matter is that Charlie Burley wanted to fight Sugar Ray Robinson, and they did want to have a fight. Both of them wanted to fight, but financially they couldn't come to an agreement. And it sounded like there was a lot of logistics going on. But Charlie Burley, a blast from the past, a Hall of Fame fighter, never got a world title shot because of the color of his skin. That's the way it was. It sucked. He would have been a world champion today without even batting an eye. Finally, I have an email I want to read real quick as we wrap it up here. This is from my man Chase. He says, "Hey, Billy C, I've been a big fan of your show and have been watching you since 2007. Well, I appreciate it, Chase. We like the guys that have been with us for a long time, and we want to get some new people in here, so spread the word." He says, "Were you surprised that Joshua knocked out Francis Ngannou as quick as he did? I thought he would win, but man, did he blast him." Thanks for the email. And for anybody, you have any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, whatever, you want to teach me how to pronounce names, so drop me an email, billy@talkinboxing.com, and I'll read it live. or Bill at BillyCBoxing.com. And speaking of BillyCBoxing.com, check it out. We've simplified the website a little bit. We got a new section, Boxing News, that will show you only the news that's up to date. I'm going to delete it when the fight's over or something changes. So, all right. Am I surprised about that fight? Well, I'll tell you, Chase, if you caught the show, I did a pre-fight. I did a breakdown, and then we did a post-fight on the AJ Ngannou fight. I was surprised that he blew him out so quick because I thought that he would fight cautiously. I predicted that he would fight cautiously. I thought we were going to see another fight like he fought when he fought for the rematch when he lost his title. Going blank here. But Andy Ruiz, when he fought Andy Ruiz the second time, he fought very cautiously. But this version of Anthony Joshua, if he can maintain it, back with Ben Davison, he just had a different. There was something different about him. You know, I've only seen it a couple of times in boxing, and the one time that it sticks out so much in my head was Evander Holyfield. Walking into the ring to fight Mike Tyson the first time. And Evander had this look like he knew something we didn't. And he showed us that he did. He beat Mike Tyson. The other time I saw it was the look on Michael Spinks's face when he too was walking out to fight Mike Tyson. Except that look was sheer fear. And he was right too. He got blasted in 30-something seconds. The look on Anthony Joshua's face, from the time the cameras were on him, even in the interviews weeks before the fight, there was something different about him. I never saw Anthony Joshua so focused on a fight. Now, granted, Ngannou was a crossover fighter. He's an MMA guy, you know, so we'll really see in AJ's next fight. But, you know, if that same version, the guy that was focused, the guy that was so crisp, I mean, and then everyone knows he's a good finisher, you know. His punches just packed so much punch behind them, and they were so accurate in his footwork. I mean, everything he did had a positive nature. So initially, yes, I was surprised, but after the bell rang for the first, you know, for the first round, and I saw that Anthony Joshua was fighting the way it was, I wasn't that surprised that he demolished Ngannou the way he did, especially after seeing him get dropped the first time, you know. And then when he was dropped the second time, I mean, this guy was pretty much out on his feet. And that third time, he was knocked out cold. So anyway, well, I appreciate you guys joining us today. Remember, we do the shows. We kind of have grown into this time slot, so we like this time slot. So make sure you check out the website, BillyCBoxing.com. Make sure you subscribe to YouTube and to Rumble. We're starting out on Rumble, so you'll see some stuff. So we're trying to get a presence there. And, of course, our podcast. So please do us a favor. Subscribe to all. Spread the word around. Like us on the Facebook pages. Join the Facebook group, Talking Boxing with Billy C. Be glad to have you. Listen, make sure you tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, I'll leave you with this. Ciao, baby.